It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes with a relentless competitive attitude.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Alongside Jeff Fiegels and Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. Multiple ways you can interact with us here on the program, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Week 11, one more game left, and that is the Giants and the Bucks at Raymond James Stadium tonight. So we'll set the stage there. We'll go over the latest injury report, also give you some takeaways from Week 11 in the NFL. A reminder, you can find the archive of this show on our entire podcast network, on the Giants mobile app, podcast platforms everywhere, and at giants.com/podcast. So, guys, we have finally arrived. It seems like a marathon, but Monday night is here, so we actually get a football game after enjoying two straight Sundays. And I know, Jeff, you were campaigning heavily the fact that you were looking carefully at the schedule. Last Sunday, the Giants were on bye. This Sunday, they didn't play because of a Monday night game. So now that you have exhausted two Sundays without having to work a Giants game, we want to know mentally and physically how are you feeling.
I am tan and rested. I'm rested, and I don't know how much tan I am, but yeah.
Although I was
in Florida 2 weeks ago, so I'm a little bit tan, so that's good. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Hey, listen, if I'm fired up, you can only imagine what the next voice on this show is going to be. Is really fired up, Mr. Paul Dottino. I'm certain that you are just rocked and ready to go, right?
Are you ready?
Here we go, Pauly.
I'm not surprised by the second part of that commentary. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I did spend, and I mean this literally, guys, all day on the couch yesterday watching football. It was great. And I don't do that very often. I don't know. It was just one of those days that I just didn't feel like doing anything other than watching some football. And it was a lot of fun. My boys are here at the house, and we just sat around and it was a good day. How about you guys?
You know, Jeff, the 1 o'clock games were not very fun. I had the Jets Dolphins and the Philly game and the Washington game all on simultaneously on three different screens.
You only needed one. Just turn the red zone on.
Well, red
Do you
zone
really
doesn't...
think he's going to follow something that's easy technology wise? Come on,
red zone is for lazy people. You have to study the whole game. You can't.
Oh,
just
you
watch.
Study three games at once? Oh,
yes.
Wow, that's really good.
It's hard.
Well, Paul has six sets of eyes.
It gives me a headache, but I do it. I red zone is just, no, there's not enough there. I mean, that's like taking a bite of ravioli. It's not the whole plate. So I had all three of those games on at 1 o'clock, and those were not very enjoyable. And then the Dallas-Kansas City game I thought was a whole lot of fun. That was very enjoyable. And then last night's Steelers game, you know, to be honest, Lance will love this. I watched the Knicks and Bulls, and that wasn't very enjoyable.
Well, of course.
But
that was my
Sunday.
Well, I watched the Knicks Bulls too, but you just didn't like the result of the game, and I did. So that's why it wasn't enjoyable for you. Actually, speaking of the 1 o'clock games, the one game that you didn't mention, Paul, and had you been focusing on this, I think you would have been singing a different tune. I don't know if Jeff paid attention to this game, but Packers-Vikings, I was very much into that game. Mm-hmm. That was a fantastic finish. It was a back-and-forth offensive affair, a lot of ins and outs, turnovers, big plays. So you just were missing out on the 1 o'clock game that I thought lived up to expectations.
That was probably one of the better ones.
There was a lot of drama and excitement in that game, but I have no reason to scout either team. They're not on the Giants' schedule.
Well, see,
the Philadelphia
Paul
Eagles,
lives in his Giants bubble, Jeff.
Well, yes, because I'm the best at what I do. That's why I do
excuse
it.
Excuse him. Wow. I mean, I'm sorry.
Lance, you may start studying for the Philadelphia Eagles after the Giants play them next Sunday, but I studied for them ahead of time.
Well, I didn't say that I was only watching one game. I just said that you didn't name one of what I thought was an extremely entertaining 1 o'clock game. See, you took what I said and you assumed that I was just studying one game.
Lance, should we just maybe I should just come to the city early? We can go to lunch, and then let Paul just take over and have a
apparently,
solo show
I know.
Today.
We're just here to compliment him left
just
and right.
Think
apparently.
About it. Yes. Yeah. Philadelphia and Miami are the Giants' next two opponents, and you had a chance to watch both of those teams yesterday.
Sure.
So
yeah,
why
but you
not
want to know
it?
Something? You have a chance to watch both of those games anytime you want in the next 1 or 2 weeks.
I like to get a head start.
Oh my goodness!
Anyway,
Paul.
Apparently, Paul can watch games simultaneously. Jeff, the rest of us can only focus on one game at
a time. Can only
that's
focus
what we
on
learned
one.
On today's program.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Well, that's
well,
how come
that
my head spins in five
conclusion.
Different directions at once. It's a very dangerous thing to do.
Well, it's very dangerous even when you focus on one game, too. And we can speak from experience from that standpoint. Let's actually focus on one game.
Yes,
and the task
go
at hand
ahead.
Is the Monday night game. Guys, I want to start with the injury report that came out. Obviously, on Saturday, so this is the first time that we'll be commentating on the injury report. And it's important to understand two things. We're still waiting today whether or not the Giants will activate Andrew Thomas. The expectation is they will off of IR, but that has not been made official. And then the Bucs could activate Sean Murphy Bunting, their corner, who's been sidelined with a dislocated elbow. So those are two injuries of note that are not reflected on the injury report. But as far as the Giants are concerned, they ruled out Lorenzo Carter. He was dealing with an illness this week on top of the ankle injury. No Nate Ebner. Sterling Shepard not able to come back because of the quad injury. And then Logan Ryan, even though technically he's on the COVID reserve list, he was on the injury report and listed as out. And Joe Judge said there was an outside chance maybe he'd be cleared, but there wasn't a whole lot of optimism entering that. And then Saquon Barkley, Devontae Booker, Colin Gillespie, and Caden Smith all listed as questionable. So, Jeff, in terms of the positive outlook, it looks like Saquon will return based on him taking part in practice. He was a limited participant. And Andrew Thomas, once again, I think there's a positive feeling that they could activate him before tonight's game.
Well, I think all things are pointing towards that. I'm sure Paul knows a little bit more about it than I do. But the fact is that if they're going to get Andrew Thomas back, that's a good thing. And, I mean, collectively, obviously, getting back Saquon is hugely for this offense because they need him. And especially with Booker being a little bit beat up coming out of the 2 weeks ago. But, you know, as long as he's healthy enough to play, I'm talking about Booker, you know, that's a good kind of 1-2 punch there. Because, you know, remember this, guys, when we talked about the little how they kind of eased Saquon back from injury at the first part of the season, I don't know how much they're going to just throw him to the wolves if he comes back tonight and plays, you know, 50 plays. I don't know what it is, but they got to ease him back a little bit, you know. So I think that'll be good for the offense. And I think Andrew Thomas being in there, as we know, will really help because – I don't want to get too much into the game, but I know that the Giants are—they're going to need to throw the football a little bit today, and I think Andrew Thomas being back in there is going to help them.
The Saquon thing is interesting to me, Jeff, because I think Saquon's going to have to touch the ball about 20 times tonight for the Giants to really have a chance.
Do you
to
think
win this game.
Do you think that's okay? I mean, I think obviously coming off of a sprained ankle is a lot better than coming off of an ACL surgery. So.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if we look at it the same. You know what I mean, Paul? Like, him coming off that ACL, they kind of want to ease him into it. But, you know, if he's ready to go and they can get 20, 25 reps out of him, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think, to be frank with you, it wouldn't shock me at all if he has more yards receiving rather than rushing tonight. And that would be fine with me. If he can combine for 120 yards from scrimmage and let's say it's 50 and 70 – and the 70s receiving, I'm still good with that. I think Barkley's got to have 100-plus yards from scrimmage tonight, and I think Galladay's got to have 100 yards from scrimmage, or Tony, either one of those guys. I think the Giants will need two players from their skill positions to have at least 100 apiece if the Giants are going to win this game, because I think they're going to need 26 points to do it.
Well, that would mean that you'd need some explosive plays, I think, in order to get those two guys to the century mark. I'm with you in terms of needing the running backs maybe to just do more damage as receivers anyway, whether it's Saquon or Devontae Booker, because I mean, the Bucs are a really good run defense. Mm-hmm. They're only giving up 80 yards a game. They're right up there with New Orleans, though. Then again, Philadelphia ran the ball down the throats of the Saints yesterday. They were banged up, but still. I mean, is it possible you should at least try to stay balanced? Yes, I think you should show a commitment to the run game, but we've always discussed on this program, guys, if you throw to Barkley for 3 yards and he picks up six total, that to me is essentially the equivalent of handing him the ball on the ground and him running for 6 yards. So it makes no difference.
It's a lot what the Bucs do on their first down packages. They get the ball in the hands of the running backs and extend their running game that way too. So, you know, when you look at this game, I know they're both look last year's game, that they're different players and this and that, but I know I take away that Daniel Jones threw the ball 41 times and they ran the ball 23. So, you know, there's kind of your disparity, if you will. But I think they're going to have to get something going in the passing game because their front seven is pretty darn good. They are very well. They get after, and the Bucs have come on the last couple weeks in the sack category. You look at the game against Washington last week, even though they lost the game, they still got five sacks. So, and I've always compared the Washington team and the Giants offensive line very similar. I think they're both growing up. They're young. They're trying to get together and try to become something. But I don't know, guys. It scares me a little bit with that front seven.
I get it, Jeff. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know what the numbers came out yesterday for all of the teams around the league, but I believe going into the weekend, the Bucs were the second most frequent blitzing teams in the NFL.
They were, right behind the Dolphins.
And the thing about it is, and you guys both know this, it's not like they're coming straight at you.
They're coming from everywhere.
You got it. It is a multiple package that is going to stunt and do everything they can to confuse. They are one of the more multiple-look defenses in the league. And with the Giants, look, fellas, I this is no secret. The Giants usually have trouble with stunts, more so than any other kind of blitz. It's the stunts that really gives them a hard time.
Well, and here's the other thing. If Andrew Thomas does play, this is also going to be his first game action in quite some time. Now, you brought up, Jeff, you were saying, well, how much of a workload does Saquon Barkley get, which I think is a fair question. Also, keep in mind, Devontae Booker is coming off a hip injury. So they're really both in the same boat. Do you want to give them a full workload because they're both hurting coming into this game? Or I'm not saying Barkley's hurting, but he hasn't played in a while. So the reason I bring up Andrew Thomas is, as Paul was just talking about, you've got to account for a variety of guys coming at you in a variety of different ways, not just the edge rushers, the linebackers as well. You know, how does Andrew Thomas handle himself going up against a pretty stingy and strong front seven? It's not that you have a picnic any week in the NFL, but there is a distinct difference in terms of what the Bucs present you compared to maybe some of the other teams that have an immense amount of trouble getting after the opposing quarterback.
One good thing that we can talk about, and we haven't been able to do this much, is from an experience standpoint and just getting reps, is that we got Matt Parrott playing left tackle for, you know, a long time. And so he's gotten some good quality reps. So maybe you do see a little platoon there this game because of what you just said.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised either just because of that. But, you know, that all dictates when you look at Andrew Thomas and his conditioning level. Joe Judge will look at that and say, you know, can the guy, is he, you know, some people are different. Some guys can just jump right in and do it. So he'll get a good gauge from that from coming out of practice the last couple of weeks. Now, you this know, is all, again, we're just speculating that he's playing. They haven't activated him yet off the IR, but that we're assuming that's going to happen.
A more interesting question for me, fellas, isn't about what the Giants are going to do at tackle. It's what are the Bucs going to do at defensive end? Because they have played Barrett and JPP in a flip-flop mode for basically all season. It used to be, up until about 2 weeks ago, JPP was the guy who was going up against the left tackle and Barrett was going up against the right tackle. But JPP's been dealing with a rotator cuff and he has had two very poor weeks back-to-back and they have flipped him where he's been playing primarily the left defensive end spot against the opposing team's right tackle. And he's really had a rough time. Injuries and age are finally catching up to him. And he hasn't been very productive or effective. And Barrett's been on the other side against the left tackle. So now, if you're Arians, or for that matter, Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, what do you do tonight when you see how the Giants are going to deploy their tackles? How do you decide to deploy your defensive ends? And to me... that's a fascinating chess match.
Well, I would want to test Andrew Thomas. I want to make sure that he's fully healthy and he's back to the conditioning level prior to the injury. So if that's the case and JPP's not 100%, I would probably, and once again, you're asking me my personal opinion, Paul, I would lean towards having Shaq Barrett go up against Andrew Thomas because Barrett at least is healthy and put their best offensive lineman against your best pass rusher.
I would agree with
you. I think Barrett's proven that.
I think that's what I would do if I were Tampa Bay. But I don't know how they're going to play it.
Sure.
You know, I also would mix it up a little bit from that outside with some of their blitzing packages because, you know, even though Andrew Thomas, he's a good player, we know that he is, he's young still, and this is a defense that will come from you from everywhere, and somebody that hasn't played in a while, the communication aspect of this could confuse him a little bit. So that's kind of something that I would look at also.
This is also a big test. I know we're focusing on the edge rushers, but I think this is also a significant test for the interior of the Giants' offensive line.
100%.
Right?
Absolutely.
And I know, and I want to get your thoughts, Jeff. I just want to point out, Vita Vea was listed as doubtful on the injury report. The knee injury is not as severe as they anticipated, but in all likelihood, he's not going to play. Then his backup, Raheem Nunez-Roches, is on the injury report with an ankle injury, but he was a limited participant in practice. So they'll probably have him stepping in for Vita Vea. You have Ndamukong Suh, and then you also have Steve McClendon, the veteran who was previously with the Jets and was acquired midseason by the Bucks. So those three guys, whether Vea is not playing or not, are, to me, going to dictate the tone of this game and determine whether or not the edge guys can win off the tackles for the Giants. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, you know, Todd Bowles, they play that 2-4-5 nickel defense a lot. So, you know, they may be – Vita Vea is a guy that you know, he's tough without him. I mean, because he is a presence in the middle in the run game. You know that. He's just a big, big man, very strong. So I think that Todd Bowles will change that lineup around, like you said. But it's imperative that that offensive line keeps those guys out from – gets them, you know, locked up and gives – if we're going to get time for Daniel Jones to throw the football, they need to take care of those guys. And I think most importantly, what's going to happen with this offensive line is they have to communicate. And because they're coming people from everywhere, and as Paul mentioned, they do not do well with stunts or blitz pickups. I mean, it goes back years. Even I remember the first game of the Cowboys. I think it might have been last year. Remember what happened in that game? Oh, my goodness. They were all over the place, and I think there was, you know, there was tons of sacks in the game. So you got to account for who you are, where they're at, and just, you know, stick to your fundamentals and communicate down the line of scrimmage.
You know, Jeff, that plays into how you're going to use Barkley, too, because we know that Barkley's one big weakness is helping in pass protection.
Sure.
He has had mental lapses, and he has also had physical mistakes when trying to help in pass pro. And you and I both believe, and I think Lance agrees, the Giants really do need Barkley to give them some production tonight. It's critical. At the same time, if you're Tampa and you're coming at the Giants quarterback like your hair's on fire, well, you know, that's going to give Barkley a hell of a lot to think about as he's back there, because here he is trying to shake off the rust and give them some production. And at the same time, he's like, holy crap, now I got to help protect Daniel at the same time.
Yeah. You know, and real quickly, I think there's some things that scare me a little bit about this game. But, you know, from an offensive standpoint, I think you have to understand that, like Lance mentioned, this is a very good team against the run. So you're going to have to find ways to make yardage outside of running the football. And that's on first and second downs with using your running backs, your tight ends. Okay. And get into some of those manageable third downs distances, because if you're not, you're just going to be chasing the sticks all night. Okay, and then you do not want to give the ball back to a Bucs offense, which is potent, especially at home. We'll talk probably a little bit more about Tom Brady and what he does at home versus on the road. Okay, a distinct difference there. But, you know, I think from a defensive standpoint, I think Patrick Graham has to understand what this team offensively does, and they're a lot like the defense of the Giants. They're a dink and dunk offense, but the Giants are a bend but don't break defense. So we're going to see a lot of yards up and down the field today. And by the way, the Bucs are very good in the red zone, but the Giants defense is very good in the red zone. So the matchup a little bit here and there is kind of good. But if I'm Patrick Graham, I'm focusing more on the coverage in the middle of the field today. Okay, rather than the Bucs running game. And by the way, we talked about the running game for the Bucs. They use a lot of it on first down by throwing the football. But you know, that you got to trust your outside corners and your safeties to stick on those big time receivers. But pay attention to that middle of the field. That's my point.
Especially with Gronk back.
Yeah, exactly. We forgot about him. Oh, my goodness.
They're getting healthier, too,
as
a result of the return of one of their key weapons in the middle of the field. The Bucs' red zone offense, by the way, Jeff, ninth in the NFL. They're converting 65% of the time with touchdowns, 26 touchdowns in 40 opportunities. So can the Giants' defense, to your point, keep up where the Raiders, right, were moving the ball? They got in the red zone six times. They only walked away with one touchdown. Mm-hmm. That's going to be that type of a game that's going to be necessary for the Giants. You could let the Bucs move the ball up and down the field, but are they getting touchdowns or are they getting field goals when they have success moving the ball up and down the field? I also want to piggyback, Jeff, off of your point about the importance of sticking to the run, because if you go back to that Washington game, which was the Bucs' last contest, Washington ran the ball 34 times in that game, which is, I mean, that's a pretty high volume. They only had 94 yards, guys, though, off of those 34 carries. So they averaged barely 3 yards per carry, but they stuck with the run. And I think that was a big reason why they were 11 of 19 on third down, and they were able to put together lengthy drives. They kept that Bucs defense on the field because most of the third downs were not overwhelming, because if you ran the ball on first and second down, even if you got 2 to 3 yards, it's better to be facing a third and six or a third and seven than a third and 10 or a third and 11. So that's why I think it's important that the Giants don't completely abandon the run, even though it may be tough sledding to actually have some positive yardage.
You know what, Lance? I don't think the number of runs or number of passing attempts are necessarily the key here, because what you just alluded to with Washington, you know, those rushing numbers don't exactly stick off the page. But what happens is, if you kind of reverse the process and use the passing game as a run and use the passing game to open things up for the run. In other words, pass early in the downs when the Bucs are less likely to, first of all, blitz you, and second of all, to be more concerned with the pass. If you can go on first and second down, whether it's the short pass, which is the pseudo run, or for that matter, take your deep shots then, when they're not sending six guys, and give Daniel a chance to look downfield. And then if you can get some of the short passes in early downs and have a third and three, well, maybe on that third and three, you don't have to throw it with an empty backfield, as so many offenses do these days. And maybe you can actually run, get the 3 yards, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if it moves the sticks, you're really in good shape.
I mean, at this point, I think whatever could get you in manageable third downs against the Bucs is crucial. Whether it be throwing on some of the early downs to your running backs and your wide receivers and relying on yak, which is not a bad thing. Or, once again, even a 2 yard run to me is not a bad play, because I'm looking over these Washington drives and late in that game. Now, granted, they benefited from two early Tom Brady interceptions and they were able to play with a lead early. And to me, that was crucial for them. You get down to the Bucs, good luck. Because then all of a sudden Todd Bowles is going to get comfortable. He's going to be aggressive. It's not a good position to be in. So,
well, the other thing too, Lance, don't forget this. If they get the lead, they maybe will lean on the run more. And Leonard Fournette's a load.
Yeah. Oh, he's a physical back. Yeah, he's going to grind you down, because you're going to have a few bodies come his way. And remember, they didn't really also against the Washington team, because they were down and there weren't as many snaps. You didn't see Ronald Jones get one snap in that game. I think actually he got one snap, I should say. And then Giovanni Bernard, too, is another player that they can utilize, who is somebody that they could dump it off to out of the backfield, and he could get some yak yardage. So, you know, they have a variety of different backs that they can utilize, but when you get them in a position where they have to play from behind, which Washington did, now all of a sudden, Byron Leftwich and company can't go to all of their tricks. So, you know, that's to me why the game plan worked out very effectively for Washington. But I want to get back to the point that I was emphasizing, is Washington went on an 8-play, 71-yard drive late in the game, and they also put together a 19-play, 80-yard drive. And on the 8-play drive, 3rd and 4 and a 3rd and 1 was what they faced on that drive. Then on the 19-play drive, they faced a 3rd and 2. They faced a 3rd and 1. They faced a 3rd and 4. They faced a 3rd and 5. They faced a 3rd and 4. I mean, think about those downs, guys. Nothing
manageable.
More than 5 yards or more on third down in those last two drives that ended up with touchdowns.
The true definition of manageable.
Sure. 100%, right? Jeff. Yeah.
You know, again, I think this Bucs offense is they have many ways that they can go to beat you. You know, and getting one of them, if they get up on you, they have a formula. And it's going to work. And by the way, between Leonard Fournette and Gio Bernard, they have 59 catches between them. So that goes to your point about dumping things off to those guys. That happens. The one thing that the Bucs do not do offensively by studying this team is, and we talk about this all the time about the Giants offense, is negative plays. They do not get a lot of negative plays because, number one, Tom Brady is so smart and get in and out of plays, and he does such a good job at keeping them, you know, out of those situations, and then that leads to manageable third downs for this team. So I think this is a guy who likes to, You know, his arm, he's 44 years old, guys. I mean, he doesn't have the strongest arm in the world anymore, but he's so accurate, and he will pick you apart because he's, they're not going to fool him. He reads defenses exceptionally well, as we know that. And the one that kills you, and no wonder he's 44 and he's so healthy, he never gets hit. The guy gets rid of the ball so quickly that nobody gets a chance to get to hit him. So, you know, if I'm Patrick Graham, I'm not going to focus on trying to get after Tom Brady, with exception to, and you mentioned the big guys, right, Lance? That this is a game of the interior for the big guys. They're going to have to get that interior pressure on him, and maybe once in a while see a blitz up the A-gap or something to just get in Tom Brady's face. But I got to rely on those guys up front to get something done, and then give me some coverage today. Because that's what it's gonna take, in my opinion. And by the way, both these teams have been taking the football away, but one team is better than the other in converting those turnovers into points, and that would be the Bucks.
Oh, so what a surprise!
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. So there's just tons of things that we're looking at when we're matching up to this game, and I just hope some of them fall in the Giants' favor. I know when I'm looking at this, four games that these guys have played have been decided by 3 points or less in the last four games that these guys have played. So the Giants play the Bucks very well, and I'm hoping they continue to do it tonight. They're not great on primetime TV, but we'll see.
Yeah, they've lost 9 straight primetime games, and that goes back for a few seasons. So, yes, that has been a troubling aspect. Tom Brady, by the way, has been sacked 12 times, tied for the fewest in the NFL. He was not sacked when they played Washington last week. So that just emphasizes Jeff's point about they're not going to face a lot of negative plays because you can barely get to the quarterback. And normally teams that have to overcome bad downs and distances is because the quarterback may get sacked, or the quarterback all of a sudden, you know, makes a bad decision because he was pressured and so forth. Brady very rarely puts himself in that position. I know, Jeff, you were teasing the road and home splits with Brady. I want to bring that up a little bit later on. But right now, let's open up the phone lines here as we move along. Monday's edition, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lance Meadow, Jeff Eagles, Paul Dottino with you. 201-939-4513. Glenn is in Florida, and he joins us. What's happening, Glenn?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
You too, Glenn.
Okay. I think the Giants will have a good game tonight, depending on if they do what you guys are saying they're doing. And they're producing the plays.
Well, I think that's the name of the game. It's all about execution, yeah, Glenn. Yeah. I don't think anybody would disagree with you there.
Yeah, I agree. As long as they produce the game and get Saquon running and Devon Booker playing well, they'll do well. That's my opinion.
All right, Glenn. Well, we appreciate the phone call. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thank you so much, Glenn,
for weighing in. Well, just to piggyback off of that point and expand upon it, if you look at the recent games, specifically the Chiefs game and the Raiders game, I think what stood out to me, guys, is the fact that Devontae Booker was a weapon, whether it be as a runner or a receiver. So if they could continue that, whether it's a mixture of Barkley and Booker, whether it's one guy in particular, I think that they have shown over the last two games in particular that when they get those guys out in open space, usually good things happen, and it presents them in at least favorable downs and distances. So that should be an element that remains, Paul, whether it's Barkley or Booker. I would think you'd want to see a little bit more of that, even though you're getting healthier in terms of the offensive personnel.
I agree with you, Lance. However, I would also say this. For every one of those 4 or 5 yard dump downs to Booker, he's going to gain maybe 7 yards on those plays for the most part. Barkley could take one of those things for 30. And it's that potential that Barkley could take one of those short ones and turn them into a yak yardage heaven. That's what the Giants really need to take advantage of today when they're trying those styles of plays. To me, Booker's just not a yak guy, you know, and especially when you throw it to him in open space. He's not going to accelerate quick enough. He doesn't have the juke ability that Barkley has. And so, basically, he catches it, and you'll get another yard or two, and that's about it. That play is going to be where it is. There's no playing above the X's and the O's with Devontae Booker.
And I know all three of us are thinking about one guy when we start talking about yak yardage.
KT?
Yes, and that's also going to be somebody that you're going to need to look for tonight, too, to get the ball to him. So
totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, because he is the ultimate yak guy. I mean, there's no – I mean, I know he hasn't played a lot. He's been hurt. He's this, but you understand that he is going to become that type of player for the Giants for years to come. I mean, he is a guy, get the ball, get him in space, and go. And he's going to be able to turn it into a big play.
Lance and Jeff, both of you, I want you to watch very carefully tonight. We talk about the Giants don't usually get a lot of explosive plays, right? We've been discussing this now for how many months? How many years, actually? Well, tonight, you're talking about a defense that because they send the blitz so often, it means if you can break that first wave of players, because the second wave is coming strong, you have a chance to make explosive plays. They will give you a ton of opportunities to make explosive plays. You just got to be able to get the ball out quick enough and make sure that you make the right move with the football once you get it. As long as you can hold up and give your guys a chance to make those plays, you can burn a heavy blitz team a lot. Now, if you can't hold up and their heavy blitz gets there, well, now you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, because you're not going to get to the second layer of the defense, as you're mentioning. Plus, I think with respect to what you're emphasizing, Paul, you want – I don't think it's just the Bucs. I would say most teams. You want their secondary players to have to tackle, right? Because most secondary players, and maybe safeties are more of an exemption to this, but most corners, you know, they're good cover guys, but they don't necessarily all love to get extremely physical out in open space. So I would think, especially with the Bucs dealing with injuries at the cornerback position specifically, I want to make those guys tackle. And the way you make them tackle is if you get Galladay and Tony out in open space, if you get Barkley and all of a sudden the front seven, they were getting after Daniel Jones, then who's going to be that layer of defense? It's going to be the corners. It's going to be the secondary guys. Make those guys tackle tonight. The only way you do that is if you get some of your big playmakers out into open space. If you're going to be Dinkin and Duncan and they're keeping everything in front of them, they're going to have their linebackers, Lavonte David and Devin White, in position, I think, to make a lot of those plays. So if I'm the Giants, get White and get David out of position. Make the secondary have to tackle tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, Lance. And Galladay's a big guy who often can fight through tackles. We know Tony's got the jukes to be able to get around and away from tackles. And we know that Barkley has some of both. He's physical and he's strong, and he's also got some jukes. So you're talking about three guys who all have the ability to take advantage of that style of situation if they are getting the ball. Problem is, you got to make sure Jones has enough time to get it out.
That's why there's so many layers to this. Few reminders before we carry on with the conversation here on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Giants fans, you can secure your season tickets for the 2022 season today for only $100. Limited seats available. Speak with a Giants ticket representative now. Become a season ticket member. Call 888-NYG-1925. You can also take in all the action of New York Giants football from your very own private suite. Giant suites are a great way to entertain the family and friends while rooting on your Giants at MetLife Stadium. Speak with a Giant suite rep now by calling also 888-NYG-1925. And on an unrelated note, the Delta variant is spreading quickly in all areas of New York State. People who are not fully vaccinated are at greater risk from COVID-19. Protect yourself. Get vaccinated. Visit ny.gov/get vaccinated or talk to your healthcare provider. So I want to get to something that Jeff brought up earlier. And you had alluded to, Jeff, the fact that when you look at Brady's numbers this season, there's his home production and there's his road production, which is just quite ridiculous. Now, that's not to say that he hasn't played well on the road, but it's hard to overlook the fact that the Bucs, first of all, they're 4-0 as a team at home. But I want to go over Brady's numbers. Brady has 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions at home. He has pretty much a perfect passer rating, 120.3. He has 4 or more touchdown passes in all 4 games. And they're averaging, as a result of Brady's production, Jeff, nearly 41 points per game. In comparison, they're averaging 18.5 points per game on the road. So this is a team that has absolutely taken full advantage of their home cooking.
And it's funny because, you know, as a player, you always enjoy playing at home, okay? And I know, and I'm just trying to find out why this is happening. And I'm just going to make some – I mean, I'm not going to make this up. I'm just telling you, from somebody that played in their 40s like me, I can understand that going on the road, okay, was not as fun when you got it a little bit later in your career. And I don't know. I think it's the travel – I think it's not sleeping in your own bed. And I'm telling you, this is, this stuff makes, does this make sense to a 22-year-old, 24-year-old, 25-year-old? No, they could care less. It's just like when you're out drinking. You, a 25-year-old will drink you under the table in a minute. You have two beers, you're done. Those guys will have nine beers, they're still going. It just affects your bodies differently. So I just don't know if he's, if he just feels more comfortable at home. He has more focus. I have no idea. But the fact is that you got a home crowd. I think a lot of the intangibles play into it that way. The weather in Tampa is most of the time warm and good, good for old guys. A lot of this stuff takes, you have to take into consideration. I know a lot of people don't think about it, but I know from experience playing at home was a lot easier than going on the road all the time. So
no, I think those are all fair points. I mean, I think anybody that also travels a lot, Jeff, regardless of their age, I think, right, it takes a toll on them in general.
It does.
So, yeah. And it have a lengthy week, right, because it's going to be a quick turnaround. So you have to wonder how that may play into things, especially from the Giants' perspective. Not to say that they haven't had success on the road. I mean, remember, they beat New Orleans on that road game. But it sort of is a tweak to the schedule when not only are you on the road Monday night, but now you know you're going to be coming back late, and then you're going to have to turn your attention to Philadelphia. So the mental side, I think, does factor into that equation.
And I would, and I don't have it, and maybe somebody can do it, but I wouldn't be interested to see, and let's just say the last, you know, 5 years of Tom Brady's career in New England, what his home record was at home and what his home record was away there too. You know, so was I know that he won a lot at home, you know, so that's kind of something that's been carried over to when he's come to Tampa. But they're just, you know, home field advantage. It means a lot. You have the crowd. And by the way, quarterbacks, they need the home field advantage when they're talking about calling plays and changing plays. And I know after playing so many seasons in the league that there were certain stadiums that I absolutely loved to play. This is going to sound really crazy, and Paul, you're going to be scratching your head about this, but the years that I played in the NFC East, back when the Cardinals were in the NFC East, when I was with the Eagles in the NFC East, and of course the Giants in the NFC East, one of my favorite places to play was the Meadowlands. Why? I don't know. I just always had good games here. Because I just continued. Man. Every time I came to the Meadowlands, I had good games. And I don't know what it was, but I know that I kind of figured out how to kick in that stadium. With the wind and all that kind of stuff, and depending on when we played, it was early in the season, late in the season, but I enjoyed playing there. Maybe Tom Brady loves playing in Tampa. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't, because it's warm, it's sunny, and he's got the crowd there and all that kind of stuff. So all those go into it as a player. Sometimes you do, you know, and by the way, going on the road, you have your favorite places too, and you have your places which you hate playing too. Raiders hated to play there, hated to play in Philly. I mean, these are, there's kind of things that go into this stuff when you're,
which was a problem when you played for the Eagles. By
well,
the way.
I liked it then. Exactly. Other than the field back then when the Vet was there, that field was horrible. Absolutely horrible. You know, they put the Phillies played there too. And they had those, Paul, you know, they had those inserts where the baselines were
horrible,
horrible, horrible. Absolutely horrible to play. So, anyways.
You know, I don't want to burst the bubble about this whole thing with getting pressure and hitting Brady, but earlier this year when Miami played against Tampa Bay, that game was a Buccaneers home game. You can only imagine, because we've already told you that Brady's been excelling at home. Miami is the most frequently blitzing defense in the National Football League. They did sack Brady twice, only hit him six times, sacked him twice. He threw for 400 yards and five touchdowns.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the risk reward there?
A lot of good that did, yes.
Exactly.
So, you know, the conventional strategy of getting to him didn't exactly pay off that day for the Dolphins.
I mean, you almost want to just rush two and drop nine, I swear.
You're not going to get him. Of a thousand cuts, Jeff.
I understand. That's what's going to happen tonight. You're going to – I'm not two and rush two and drop nine, but you're going to see – you're just going to see death by – you're just going to dink, 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 dink. Oh, and don't forget, he's smart. Don't lull yourself to sleep, secondary, because he will throw it deep on you, and he'll go to Mike Evans. That's
what he's going to suspect. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but, Jeff, and piggybacking off of what Paul had mentioned, if you go back – and I know this wasn't against Tom Brady. He was actually on the right sideline. But if you go to the Super Bowl this past season, remember, the Bucs, the reason why they had success – yes, I understand Kansas City's offensive line was banged up, but – Todd Bowles' unit got home with four. So as you were mentioning, Jeff, he was able to keep the bulk of his defense on the back end, which means Mahomes didn't have a lot of opportunities down the field. So I think if you look at the point that Paul was raising, it's not, and I know you were taking it to a hyperbole level, Jeff, your point to me is well taken, that this is a game where the Giants front four, or if you want to go to a certain degree, front seven, that group's got to win tonight, okay, without blitzing. You have to be disruptive so that you then could keep enough guys on the back end so Brady can't have a field day when he does have the itch and the urge to try to air it out. This is not a game where you get ultra-aggressive because he's going to get rid of the ball quickly, and then you're going to be caught out of position, which is what we were talking about, the Bucs defense, and then all of a sudden you're going to give up the yak yardage, and the Bucs are going to turn maybe a 5 or a 6 yard play into a huge game.
I don't know, Paul. I tell you what, I like the matchup of the, you know, the big guys on the big guys today. And Jason Garrett had mentioned this weekend in one of his conferences or one of his interviews that, you know, everything starts up front. And we all know that. We talk about that all the time, that that's from the beginning of the game when this whole game started years and years and years and years ago. It starts in the trenches. And I think tonight's going to be one of those examples where you're right, Lance, they have to win up front. And I'll take my chances tonight with Dexter, okay? And I think that Austin Johnson is having an outstanding year, okay? And then, of course, you know, I think these guys are going to do well. I like the Leonard Williams. I like the matchup with these guys tonight.
I'd love the conventional wisdom, but I just wonder if that's really the way to go tonight because
– Well, hold on. It's not the way to go. It's the reality. That's what they have to do.
Yeah, but I don't know that you can when the quarterback is getting rid of the ball, the second fastest release in the NFL. In other words, and I've talked about this many times too, if an offense and a quarterback decides on a given Sunday that you're not going to sack him, you're not going to hit him, everything's going to be short and everything's going to be quick game, well, they can prevent you from sacking the quarterback. They could do that. They could take your defensive line out of the game anytime they want to if they're willing to restrict their playbook. And because Brady's got the second quickest release this year in the league, I'm not so sure that it's realistic to say to the Giants front, okay, you got to win the line of scrimmage and get that pressure on Brady. Because truth of the matter is, 9 times out of 10, the ball's going to be gone by the time they get there anyway.
Well, all I guess I'm saying is I'm not counting on Dexter Lawrence and Austin Johnson, okay, and all the guys, Leonard Williams, all those guys to get 5 sacks tonight. What I am wanting them to do is to get pressure. And they should be able to get pressure with one-on-one matchups with this offensive line. That's all I want, okay? I know it's 2.5 seconds, but listen, you got to do something to slow this offense down.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, I mean, the problem with this thing is, like, no matter what thing you choose, chances are Brady's got an answer for it. That's why he's the GOAT, right?
He does.
That's why he's the GOAT. You know, so I'm with you, Jeff. Yeah. I would love to see that happen. I just don't know what the odds are of being able to make that work. I think maybe the one thing that you can tell the Giants defensive front to do that may be more realistic than actually getting the pressure, make sure you clog the passing lanes. Get those arms and hands up.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay.
Because how did Washington beat Tampa? By turnovers. That's how they beat Tom Brady. They turn him over. And if you're getting in the throwing lanes or you got some pressure on him, you know
deflect
you're not going to hit him.
A couple of passes.
Something
knock
to
some
disrupt
down.
His throwing and cause some turnovers. And then you got to turn those turnovers into points.
I talked about this. I don't know if it was on the show the other day. I know I talked about it on WFAN with Richard Neer. There was a play, and I want to ask both of you guys if you remember the play. It was against the Raiders at MetLife a couple of weeks ago. And the Raiders were in the red zone. And Waller ran a post.
Yeah, we were talking about this.
Right?
The other
and he
day,
got
Paul.
Behind Brady. Yeah. Now, Jeff, I don't think you and I had this conversation. I'm going to repeat it real quick. He got behind Bradbury about 3 yards inside the back line of the end zone. He was wide open. The reason that pass was incomplete, you know, the layperson just says, oh, Carr misfired. He missed him. He overthrew him. That's not what happened.
Hands up.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. Raglan came on a blitz, prevented Carr from scrambling or moving off of his spot to buy time to the front side of the pocket. Ojulari came up from the front of the pocket and had his arm and hands extended. Carr couldn't step into the throw, so he was flat-footed, and then had to throw the ball over the outstretched arms of Ojulari. That made the pass sail, and it went about 3 yards over Waller's head, incomplete. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, oh, Carr just misfired. The Giants were lucky. That should have been a touchdown. No, no. The Giants' defense, those two players in particular, forced that ball to be off the mark. That's the kind of stuff they've got to do tonight.
Well, it was like Chris Jones.
So those
last
two
night.
Things could be true then. He misfired as a result of the Giants' defense then.
Yeah.
But yeah, but you have to cause it. But you have to do things. It wasn't just that Carr misfired and you were lucky. You have to do things to cause. It's a cause and effect
to contribute
kind
to
of thing. Yeah, sure. And that's what the Giants need to do tonight. They need to make sure that they do enough to cause Brady's throws to go off the mark.
Well, you look at last night, the Dallas-Kansas City game. Jones tips that pass, and it goes through an interception. You know, so, I mean, those are the types of things you know as a team when you're going on the road facing the world champions who are a good football team, you're going to have to make plays to win the game. You do not match up well enough with this. In fact, this is a mismatch, in my opinion, in every category. So you have to play very good football and create opportunities to be able to beat this team. That's the only way you're going to do it. And by the way, you can't go and shoot yourself in the foot. We use this thing every week. We say this about it. But when you've only got 3 wins on the season, you can't afford to make mistakes to win football games. You just won't do it. You're not a good enough team. You can't overcome those types of mistakes because your personnel and the way that you are, you're not that good yet. Maybe one day, but not tonight. You can't do it on the road. Turnovers, number one, by the way. Can't do that.
Yeah, you can't shorten the field for Brady.
No way.
You're going to also put too much pressure on your defense to have to stop them and hold them to a field goal. And eventually that is going to break. And
by the way, you know, we talked about this earlier, guys. If this team gets behind and is forced to throw the football, oh, my goodness. There's going to be fireworks. Then Todd Bowles is going to, he's going to open up everything and he's just going to be, okay, who wants to blitz this down? Raise your hand. Okay. You're in. You're in. Okay. No,
they'll be fighting each other out of the huddle, Jeff. Seriously. They'll be running to the line of scrimmage, waiting to get off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I hope not.
Yeah.
Well, just look at some of the lopsided games that the Bucs have played in this year. And I'm talking about the lopsided games that went in their favor. And you look at the pressure and the quarterback hits that they've gotten on the opposition. I mean, I'm bringing up against Atlanta, they hit Matt Ryan. Forget the sacks, because the hits to me is more important. They hit Matt Ryan 7 times in that game. Against the Dolphins, that was the game Paul brought up. They hit Jacoby Brissett 7 times in that game.
Yeah.
You know, you start getting into that 7-10 zone, even if Jones is not sacked, let's say the volume is high. It's the fact that they're constantly wearing him down
cumulative.
By the hits on the quarterback.
It's cumulative. They always say
Correct. Hits
are cumulative. Yep. And by the way, the Bucs have 3 wins of 23 points or more. The Giants have 2 losses of 24 points or more. They haven't even – so you got to be careful. Shortening that field and letting the Bucs go down and score, it's over. You're not going to be able to come back if you're the Giants. You just can't do it.
Well, and especially when we're talking about a team that's averaging nearly 41 points per game at home.
At home,
so,
yeah. And,
I mean,
and we know that.
And
fortunately for the Giants, if you do get in this type of situation, historically for this year, the Giants have played better in the second half. So I guess there would be a chance for maybe a comeback because of what precedence has been set this year. But the first half, please don't get down because you know you don't score a lot of points in the first half. The Giants don't. That's
for
sure.
Well, more importantly, Jeff. Watch out for the double dip.
The double dip?
The double dip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they get the ball at the start and then
score at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Followed by the score at the beginning of the third quarter. Oh, my God. Remember, it was Bill Belichick who came up with the theory.
Of course he did. Yeah.
Right? It was him. It was he. The great evil emperor who came up with the theory of let's defer because we want to be able to execute the double dip.
That's crazy. And by the way, I mean, look at that team. I mean, just out of nowhere, they're back again.
Yeah,
I mean, what
five
the
in a row.
Heck?
Yeah. They're in first place. They're ahead of the Bills now.
They're in first place. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Like, really it's good just, defense. That's what will help you.
Oh, yeah.
And a quarterback. And a quarterback with a good defense.
Yep. And a smart quarterback. a smart rookie quarterback. You know, he doesn't play like a rookie. I mean, in terms of his, you know, his maturation as far as the game goes. I mean, he understands the game so well that he, even though he is a rookie and he'll make some mistakes, but not as many as the next guy. And that's what keeps him in games.
Yeah, he hasn't had those overwhelming, damaging plays that have ruined or spoiled the game for the Patriots. And when you make good decisions and your defense plays like that, you're going to put yourself in a position to win football games. There's no
doubt
about it.
Defense wins championships. Yeah. That's what they say.
Big reason why they've turned things around. And you talk about turnovers, by the way. New England has 18 interceptions, Jeff.
Oh, my goodness.
18 interceptions, and they've only played 11 games.
And by the way, can you name two of their three corners? Probably not. I can't.
Well, I can because I was focusing on their games recently. So okay. I'm not a good person to ask.
Yeah.
But your
I mean,
point is well taken.
But they're just, again, this is Bill Belichick being able to just go through and just bring in guys that, I mean, come on. Seriously, guys. I mean, so, you know, the argument about Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, you know, this, that, but what he's doing up there is pretty impressive after, you know, what they did last year. And so it's good. I'm not a Tom Brady fan, even though I am a fan. I'm not a fan. I just appreciate what he's done for the game. But Bill Belichick, I'm not worthy. There you go. You know, it's like
wow,
it's
like Wayne's World reference.
It's like in Wayne's World. We're not worthy.
I didn't see that coming. That was wow. I mean, Jeff, man.
I mean, come on.
Know.
Seriously, it's just it just amazes me what he does. It really does, and how he does it. It's
absolutely incredible. All right, let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. Joe is in Pennsylvania. He joins us. What's happening, Joe?
Hey, what's happening?
Hello, Joe.
Tonight, hi guys. The big game tonight. That Viking game did mean something, Paulie. They're in it. They're looking at the last wild card.
Sure, Washington.
Yeah,
playing.
Minnesota they're back is 500. They're 5-5.
Joe, that game was not necessary for me to scout. They're not on the schedule.
I
didn't say the score didn't matter.
Yeah,
I didn't say
that.
The score didn't matter. What I said is the game itself didn't matter to me. I need to watch things.
I was watching the Washington and the Eagles, and I was wondering who should I root for, because both of the teams they beat were in the wild card thing, the Saints, and who was Washington playing?
Washington beat Carolina.
Yeah.
Right, and they were up in the wild card thing, too, bring everybody back into the soup.
By the way, how ridiculous was Cam Newton after he ran for that touchdown? Ran all the way back to the 50, smashed the ball down on the logo, and did the whole Superman thing. Man, that guy's got three players on his team, me, myself, and I, every single time. Got no use for him whatsoever.
Well, he's not in a Giants uniform, so you don't have to worry about that.
I guess.
But, you know, Joe, my response to your point is the Giants still have to capitalize. See, we go through this conversation every year. You talk about this team losing. We did it with the division race last year. And then what did it come down to? The Giants have to handle their own business, period.
Hey. Tonight's the biggest night. This could be Joe Judge's biggest win, and this would set the tempo for the rest of the season winning tonight. We had 2 weeks to get ready for this here. We have mostly all our offensive players back that are healthy, especially if our tackle comes now. So they don't know what we're going to do. I think that we're going to set Daniel loose tonight, rolling him out this way and running a lot too.
Joe,
so they have to prepare for a lot. Yes,
Joe,
everything's out there tonight.
I don't
want
to ruin this for you. I don't want to ruin this for you, but the two most important guys that they need tonight aren't available to them. Because when you play a heavy blitz team, your slot receiver is the most important guy on offense, and Sterling Shepard is out. When you play a team like
Tony,
Tony's going to have to step up and do it because Shep's not there.
And
on the other side, there's no Logan Ryan. And Logan Ryan would be critical against Tom Brady, not to mention Rob Gronkowski, who has 4 touchdowns on 16 catches this year.
They know the Patriots, and I think Brady's sweating when he's playing the Giants, so he knows every time he faces them, the Giants just play one hell of a game. So they lost their last two games. This is going to be the game tonight to set the tone for the rest of the season. Go Giants, and we're going to win tonight. So get that through your head. Bye-bye.
Go. Bye, Joe.
That was good, Joe. Get that through your head. Bye-bye.
Wow.
my goodness.
Well, I hope Joe's a happy man.
Well, listen, he's going to be really happy when he called the game and the Giants win tonight. But, we'll see. It's going to be a tough one. I know that. By the way, Brady's 5-1 against the Giants in regular season.
Yeah, so something tells me he's not shaking in his boots as a result of playing the Giants.
Don't think so.
Well, and the last time I checked, something tells me Tuck and Strahan and those guys are not walking through that door tonight. So, you know,
no.
The roster actually has something to do with the
Neither
level of
success. Neither is Antonio Pierce.
Yes.
A little bit.
So,
yeah.
Just
well, fellas, let me ask you. I know we're running out of time here, but let me ask you, how would you deal with Gronk? I'm assuming he's going to play tonight, and I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Well, he was a
point.
Full participant twice this week, so
right.
I would agree with
okay,
you.
Okay, now, what we've seen, and I've discussed this earlier in the week, that the Giants have started to use Bradbury in some man-to-man matchups against receiving tight ends. We've seen some of that, but we know that he is required to stick with Evans. Because if you don't stick him on Evans tonight, you're really asking for trouble. So if that's the case, then who are you going to put if you're going to decide to use some man-to-man on Gronk? I think it would have been Logan Ryan if he was available.
Sure.
I don't think that Julian Love has the size or physicality or the frame to deal with Gronk. I think that's a mismatch. And I'd hate to waste McKinney on him.
I think you have to, though.
That
was going to be the
shame.
Guy that I was going to mention. I think you have to use a little bit of McKinney.
That would be a shame, though, because he is really developing into a jack-of-all-trades, a guy who can peruse the field and rover. I hate to stick him on Gronk. I almost think that's an underutilization of his talents.
Well, I think you have to pick your points, though, Paul. For example, when you're in the red zone and he's a true threat, you know, it makes sense to put McKinney. During the course of a drive, you don't necessarily have to stick McKinney on Gronk all the time. But, you know, you brought up Mike Evans that James Bradbury may have to worry about. Well, we didn't even talk about Chris Godwin. And then when we're not talking about Chris Godwin, we're talking about the running backs that you got to be concerned about that Jeff was bringing up out of the backfield because of their physicality. And then some of their other wide receivers like Tyler Johnson's made some plays. So it really becomes a pick your poison, Paul. Eventually,
sure it does.
You're going to have somebody man up somebody or else somebody else is going to beat you, essentially.
That's true. I still am very curious about how much Robinson can give the Giants, even though he's only been active for a few weeks. Because when he came into the league, the Giants talked about his size, his length, his ability to play safety and corner. He's seen some snaps over the last couple of games. I wonder how much he will play tonight and where they're going to deploy him. Because we know with no Peppers and no Ryan, they're down two safeties.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, they're going to have to deploy him at some point in time. There's no use in drafting the guy. You know, and then not playing him. I mean, get him some experience. Get him in there. I mean, this is a tough chore at hand for this defense. Like you said, when you break it down the way you did, Lance, and going through, I think you got to pick your poison. And I think the Giants' bend don't break defense gives you that opportunity. They'll let you get Gronk get his yard in the middle. Let him get his. But you got to tighten up on the defense when you get in the red zone. Maybe a double team here, whatever it is. But I just think that. You know, you got to be careful. And Chris Godwin, you mentioned his name one time.
Yep.
I mean, that is his favorite receiver. I mean,
he's
come
the
on.
Most targeted guy with the most receptions.
Yeah. And
he
we
also
mentioned
is
him
tied
one time.
For second to receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just, you know, as they say, the hits just keep on coming, right?
Well, you got to figure it's going to be him against Adoree Jackson, right? Because you need to put Bradbury on Evans. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No, and like I said earlier, I think you have to, you need to focus and make sure that your outside guys, you're going to lean on them. You're going to lean on those two corners and a safety to help you on those outside guys. And then you're going to have to take care of the middle of the field and just make sure that this team has, you know, they're not big play guys, but they do, you know, Tom Brady likes to dink and dunk it. That's the way he does, guys, right? However, you know, they have the ability to make big plays with yards after catch. It's not so much the big bombs. These guys have 40 plays of 20 yards or more, and most of those plays comes from yak yardage.
Yep.
So you got to be able to be good tacklers. And by the way, you look at the Washington game, that's what the Washington football team did very well. They tackled well last week against this Bucs team. Giants got to do the same.
After the point of contact on the catch, you got to bring him down.
Yes.
Because if you don't bring him down, See, Brady, the way that he gets around not having to throw 30 to 40-yard bombs down the field is he believes if I throw 5 yards to Godwin or Mike Evans, they'll gain an additional 6 or 7 yards after the catch, and that counters not throwing it to them 20 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. So he's more than content doing that. That's more of a reason why I'm in complete agreement with you, Jeff. You got to make tackles.
But
you have to do damage control to sort of make sure that the Bucs, they may be able to move the football down the field, but make them do it with like 18, 19 plays as opposed to 3 yards, 75 yards touchdown.
And, Paul, you know this from experienced players, right? They know the game so well. And the young guys are all, they're just, you know, they're hyped up. Monday Night Football, out of this and that. Tom Brady is calm, collective, patient.
Mm-hmm.
Patience, boom, gone. He's going to, you better not get too crazy, you know, because he's going to be patient and he will lull you to sleep. And then the next thing you know, he does have the arm strength to throw the ball 30 yards down the field, 40 yards, and he'll make
a
big play.
He's like a cobra, Jeff. Seriously.
Yeah.
He's like a cobra. He's kind of just hanging around there, and then all of a sudden he strikes and bites you, and you're cooked.
And 50 years from now, when this game is, we're long gone, these people are going to be like, ah, I never had a chance to ever see Tom Brady play, but I'll tell you, he was, you know, supposedly he was a really good one. Well, we're watching him.
Yeah. Well, they better turn on the film then, Jeff. That would be my response.
How do you know he's going to be retired in 20 years?
By the way, there may not be a film back 50 years from now. There might be something else we don't even know
of. Digitize it however you want to command it. It makes no difference.
Yeah. I know, exactly. Whatever way they watch it 50 years from now, they're going to be able to see how good he really, really is, was. And we're living in it. We're getting to see it live. So in a few hours, we'll be able to see it live.
We will indeed. And that is a good segue to mention that we'll have our pregame show, which will start at 6:45 tonight. You can hear it on WFAN. You can also hear it on Giants.com. Then we'll be on following the game as well with postgame coverage. So stay tuned for that. Big Blue Kickoff Live will be up and running again tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, as we'll recap this game as well. You can stay locked to Giants.com for all the latest. As it's Monday Night Football, wrapping up Week 11, the Giants visiting the Bucks at Raymond James Stadium. Gentlemen, I will speak to you in a few hours.
Thank you, Lance.
We'll talk to you then.
Yep. Bye, guys.
For Jeff Eagles and Paul DiTino, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Enjoy the game, and we'll speak to you on Tuesday right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.